Chapter 48, The King in Crimson. Battle Barge Charybdis, Cargo Hold. Numeon cowered before the almighty Primarch of the Thousand Suns. Not out of fear, it wasn't a psychological reaction to the Crimson King's presence, but rather he knelt out of compulsion. Despite the urging of his mind, the salamander's legs became leaden, and his head lowered in forced supplication. Only his eyes were upraised, wary but defiant, as Numeon glared at the Primarch. It was hard to hold his gaze. A volatile aura bled off Magnus the Red, so hot that it burned to look at it. It was echoed in his barbed appearance. He was not as Numeon remembered, although that meeting long ago had been brief. Here, in this moment, he seemed almost diminished, as if somehow fractured. It was beyond Numeon to fathom how or why, but the impression of it was strong.
"I have wandered the storm," uttered Magnus, "and know what lurks within its turbulent seas, as I know what resides within you, Numeon."
Beyond rumors, little was known about the fealty of the Thousand Suns. Scant reports had reached the survivors of Istvan V of the Greater War, and few of these could be verified. Even within Imperium Secundus, Numeon had gleaned only scraps of what the Ultramarines knew. Information was thin, occluded by oceans of doubt and silence. Magnus might be loyal to the throne, or in league with Horus. Numeon could not tell the Primarch's allegiance merely by looking at him. All he discerned was anger and condescending amusement.
"Doubt,"
said Magnus, and a cruel smile played across his lips.
"It hollows you as surely as any knife."
Numeon wanted to deny it, to declare his faith and purpose, but felt it would be an extremely poor decision to interrupt the demigod before him. If Magnus had heard these thoughts, he did not show it. Instead, he scraped his nails across the inner hull and raked his staff across the deck beneath, as if amused at the ship's ragged state of disrepair.
"Hurling yourselves into the warp without thought or concern as to what you do or the nature of the ocean you sail. Such ignorance," he sneered. "Such hubris! Wayward souls, all of you, at my mercy!"
Numeon felt his skin prickle in reaction to the heat of the Crimson King's aura, but he did not flinch. He felt the knife edge they were balanced on, and saw the abyss plunging away on either side of it. He began to understand that Magnus stood on the same edge, destined to fall to a different fate, and currently deciding to which he should condemn Numeon and his brothers. The Primarch leaned forwards as if he were getting a better look at Numeon's soul.
"So lost, but you are the one who has truly lost his way."
"We are lost," said Numeon at last, trying to rise but finding the effort beyond him.
He wanted to grasp the Fuller for reassurance, for another miracle, but whatever power it possessed was wise enough to lie dormant in the presence of the Primarch. Magnus looked down on him as a king might a peasant, or a man an ant.
"Help us," Numeon pleaded, realizing he would have to convince the Primarch of their plight. "Help my father, your brother."
Magnus smiled, though it was crooked and more like a scowl.
"You believe I can?"
"Yes."
"Perhaps I am a revenant, a shard, a figment, an aspect of your fevered mind made manifest.
You look as flesh and blood as I, as my father.
Numeon gestured to the sanctum. Magnus stood straighter, leaning hard on his staff to do so.
Vulcan.
His eye narrowed, releasing a spider's web of wrinkles across his face.
You seek to bring him back.
Numeon lifted his chin. It took a supreme effort of will to raise his hands and take off his helm. He wanted to look the Crimson King in the eye before declaring,
Vulcan lives.
A mote of sadness passed over the Primarch's face, darkening it further, but in melancholy, not wrath.
He is dead. Vulcan is dead.
No,
Numeon shook his head vehemently.
I refuse to accept that. I refuse to...
You refuse?
Magnus bellowed, lurching forwards to tower over the kneeling salamander.
It is not a request. My brother is gone. His mind fled and his essence scattered. You ferry a corpse, nothing more.
Numeon wanted to lash out, to plunge his blade into this mendacious creature. But he knew his life would end the moment he raised his hand in anger.
He lives, he said instead. You believe, so must you, or why else intervene?
Numeon gestured to the frozen statues of the sirens. Magnus shrank down again, bent-backed and weary as he regarded one of the creatures.
Little demonettes.
His baleful eye lingered on the sirens.
They are never born, soul-hungering husks of things, a wretched birthing of black emotion. They were made by mortals, as all such things are, and ever will be. I have seen such wonders within the eye. I don't understand.
Magnus turned his baleful gaze on the salamander. He was far from the resplendent Primarch Numeon had heard Vulcan describe, but he was as arrogant and forbidding as expected.
Few do, except my father and I.
A tremor of unresolved trauma flickered across Magnus's face at the mention of the Emperor.
Lorgar, too, perhaps, though my brother does tend to overreach.
No, said Numeon. I don't understand why you are here. If it is to end us, then end us. But the Magnus my father spoke of was wise and generous.
Your father, eh? You think he knows me, my mind? I know his.
His face suddenly shifted as if his features were things of clay and an unseen hand had molded them to the Primarch's whim. Brittle became solid, umber flesh darkened to the color of onyx. His hunched back straightened, his limbs thickened and grew stronger. Bone cracked as if physically breaking and reshaping at will. Armor that had been pitted and tarnished took on fresh luster. The verdigris of age that colonized the bronze plates grew into an encompassing patina which shone vibrantly as the rigors of entropy regressed. Gilded edges emerged from greaves like petals reacting to the sun. His ragged cloak took on the permanence of scales. The mane of red hair, lank and disheveled, withered away as if dragged back into a scalp of increasingly black skin. Head bowed, body shuddering,
the Primarch had become mythical Proteus of old, but his change was far from fluid. No flare of transformative light filled the cargo hold. It was pain, the agonized rendering of a brittle and broken thing into a more substantial form, bereft of rancor. Last were the eyes, and Numion did not see them until the protean form looked up from its tortuous change and met his terrified gaze. The light of embers burned within them, stunning Numion into silence.
"You have been seeking me, my son," said Vulcan, rising to his full height. Through sheer strength of will, Numion overcame his paralysis and forced himself to his feet. He backed off a step, looking up at the Lord of Drakes.
"A cruel trick," he breathed, shutting off his mind to the implications raised by the apparition. Was it so easy to create a simulacrum of his father? Could he have been fooled so easily before?
"You are not him."
He tried to glance past the Primarch to where he knew his real father was still at rest, but couldn't see the sanctum or the casket within.
"This is a lie."
Vulcan moved so quickly that Numion barely had time to register it before a scalloped gauntlet was locked around his throat.
"A lie, is it?"
The voice was deep and venomous, the tone Vulcan's, but not the words. He snarled, revealing dragon-like fangs. Black scales manifested across his neck, obscuring the branding marks. Numion choked, his neck constricting even in his armor as he was lifted off the deck.
"Is this how you treat your estranged father? Come back from the dead?"
A nictitating membrane slid over the sclera of both eyes as Vulcan blinked. The fingers around Numeon's throat tightened so much that he fought to answer.
"You are not my father."
Vulcan's eyes blazed hotter, twin furnaces of anger. A forked and serpentine tongue slid between his lips to taste the air.
"Am I not? Am I so different, Artellus? Nothing that comes back can ever truly be the same. So says the Circle of Fire."
Blackness crawled at the edge of Numion's vision, presaging unconsciousness. He fought to hold on a little longer.
"You are not him. I am not sure you are even Magnus."
The tension around Numion's neck instantly relaxed as he was released. He clattered to the deck in a heap, gasping for breath and tearing off the gorget around his neck. Bitter laughter issued from the Primarch's lips. He shrank again, bent-backed and wretched, the Drake armor spontaneously mottling with patches of dirty bronze and oxidized green. The onyx cracked and sloughed away like a snakeskin, revealing angry red beneath. The hair grew back, the limbs withered, and the disheveled form of Magnus the Red was restored. Hunched over, a lank mane of red hair partially obscuring his face, he glared.
"How is it you have lived this long, Salamander, when my brother, with all his gifts, could not?"
He laughed again, but this time Numion thought he heard regret.
"Vulcan will live again. I shall see to it."
A hacking, mirthless chuckle escaped Magnus's lips.
"Such arrogance! Do you believe that fate or destiny has brought you this far? Did you think my brother had some power of the warp?" he asked, frowning with amusement. "That you do?"
Now on his feet, Numeon refused to be cowed again.
I have witnessed miracles.
Magnus smiled, but the coldness of his lonely eye betrayed his intent.
A beacon that brought saviors to your rescue, he said. Stalling the murderous rampage of Zenutsul, enduring a baptism of flame, the blow that shattered that cataphracty warplate, are those the miracles of which you speak, Artelos Numeon? Tell me, how many times is it that you have cheated death? You died on Trioris and have been enslaved to my strings ever since. I have watched over you, Numeon.
Why? To what end?
Vulcan is my brother. Is that not reason enough?
It makes no sense.
Nothing about this war does, admitted Magnus, and there was melancholy in his voice. He looked away as if searching inwardly. I had to see if I had it in me.
What?
The Primarch looked back at the Drake.
Compassion, cruelty. I am torn between them in this bitter shell, he uttered as his rancor returned. And so I gave you strings and watched you flail upon them. No miracles, only my power, my will.
Numeon shook his head.
That cannot be.
It was a ruse, another cruel trick. He backed away again, almost touching one of the frozen demon forms still held in stasis by the Crimson King's chronomancy.
It was Vulcan's will,
Numeon said, but sounded unconvinced.
Was it? I felt his strength within me. I am his vessel. Are you?
Magnus's eye narrowed as he closed the distance between them.
Are you really? We only came to your attention because you are trapped inside the storm, like us. Did you? Am I? This is a trial of my resolve, my worthiness. If that is what you believe, you haven't been guiding us or watching over me, have I not?
Numeon's fists clenched, but he let go almost immediately. Something told him this was what Magnus wanted, for him to fall to anger.
Either cease taunting me or kill me, but know that nothing you can say will convince me of any of this. I believe in Vulcan. He lives. If he could be made to live again, what are you willing to sacrifice to bring about his return? I would give up everything to reach Nocturne. That isn't what I asked.
Numeon was done bandying words. He sensed there were few left to trade anyway. He needed to end this one way or another.
Can you breach the storm and take us there or not?
No, said Magnus,
but I can give you a choice.
What choice?
The only one you have left. Look into the fire and find your path.
Light flared, brighter and hotter than any sun. It burned, stripping away armor and flesh, rendering bone to ash until there was nothing left but dust on the wind. Numeon screamed as the agony took hold, his mind in turmoil, awash with fire, endless fire.
Behold!
Boomed the voice of Magnus, filled with prophecy and arrogant bombast.
It is your destiny, son of Earth!
The fire roared, becoming more ferocious with every passing moment until it eclipsed all sound.
and there was silence again. Numeon breathed, and in a single beat of his heart, everything changed. Magnus had gone, and in his absence came anarchy.